Pray now that for each and every one of us, Lord, that you would lead us. Lord, that you would lead the words that I'm about to speak, that you would lead every heart to hear what you have for us, every ear to be open this morning. Father, may your will truly be done in each and every one of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Y'all would open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. I've been talking the last couple weeks about listening and hearing, and this message this morning, I had several things in my notes, and I was really struggling with what to talk about this morning. And I usually have a good idea about what I'm going to preach for sure by Friday, and I didn't really know. I had two or three things on my heart, but I really didn't know till I just I got up yesterday morning and I opened up my Bible and I just said, "Lord, help," because I didn't know. But this is a familiar text, but it's just something I feel like we all need to hear again. Matthew 19, verse 16, it says, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" I don't know about y'all, but I want to be in heaven, you know. So this is a pretty good question to ask. Jesus, verse 17, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." All right, that sounds pretty good, don't it? "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Y'all, we're all rich. Everyone in this room is rich. If you're the poorest person in this room, you're rich by worldly standards. And so this text here is very important to each one of us, because how hard is it for a rich man to enter into heaven? It's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. This brings alarm to my heart, saying, "Lord, how can I enter in then?" But I love what it says. "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And as I was reading this and I was thinking about this, and do we really have the mindset that all things is possible with God? Do we really believe that this morning? Is it really in our heart? Is it really in our soul that all things are possible with God? And as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, first I need to think about, do I believe that salvation is really possible through Jesus Christ? Is salvation really real? Is it really something that can be for me? Is it really something that can be for you? That's what this man was asking. How do I get there? How can I have eternal life? With God, all things are possible. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." We see this at football games. We see this at basketball games and the crowd being held up. John 3:16, and people read it and they know the verse and they memorize the verse, but do we really realize that this verse could mean salvation for you and for me? That what's impossible for us to do became possible because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross, because of what Jesus did for us. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But I wonder how many of us are still walking around and we say, this seems impossible. This seems impossible that I can be saved. This seems impossible that I can truly have eternal life. Oh, I go to church and I do the right things, but sometimes it just seems impossible. Am I alone in thinking that? Sometimes I think, God, am I really going to be in heaven with You someday? God, is this really possible? And the answer is yes. It is really possible because what Jesus has done for me, what Jesus has done for you. You notice that the rich man, he says, what else must I do? What do I still lack? What is still lacking in my life? And maybe some of you this morning, you're sitting here and you're saying, I believe, but I just feel like there's something still lacking in my life. There's something not quite right. There's something that is just kind of, there's something wrong. You know, this young man, he says, all these things I've kept. And maybe this morning you're saying, I'm doing all the right things. I'm not murdering. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not stealing. I'm doing all the right things, but there's something here. What do I still lack? Verse 20. Says, all these things I have kept, the young man said, what do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So when you think about this whole thing here, what do I still lack? And Jesus says, go sell your possessions, give to the poor and follow me. What was the problem there? Jesus knew what had his heart. And it wasn't Jesus, it was his possessions. And see, this morning, maybe you're sitting here and you're going, Pete, I'm not murdering, I'm not stealing, I'm trying to live a good life, but I still feel like something's lacking. Well, let me ask you, where's your heart really at? See, Jesus knew that this man's heart, that the possessions had control of him. And I think for many of us that we're sitting here this morning and we're saying something's still lacking, something's not quite right. But what has our heart? Matthew 6, verse 19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So my question to you this morning is if you really believe that God is the God of the impossible, but maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, just something doesn't quite feel right with my relationship with the Lord. I still feel like there's something lacking. My question to you is where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Is it in heaven? Is it the life to come after you die? Or is it for the present? Is it for what's taking place right now? I've told you guys this story before, but I think it's been a long time. So hopefully you forgot it, but when I used to work for UPS, I was delivering up around Cedarville, and I delivered to this shop. It's there on the left. It's still there. And there was a 57 Chevy Candy Apple Red in this guy's building out there. Beautiful. And and that Boyd, I can't say his last name right, Coddington or something like that, in California had done the restoration on this car. Top to bottom, it was restored. It was beautiful. And it had dust probably that thick on it. Because it just sat there in the corner of that shop because that guy was scared to drive it. That guy was scared to take it out. So it just sat there collecting dust because he was so in so much fear of driving that and using it because this was his treasure and he kept it hidden. But can I tell you something? As that car sat there collecting that dust, if you guys have ever left a car sitting for very long, before long the tires will start to dry rot and the hoses will start to dry rot and things begin to happen to that car. Why? Because it's going to fade away. It's going to fade away. And y'all, the things here on earth that we care so much about, the things here on earth that we love so much, they're fading away. And maybe this morning you're saying, I believe that the impossible is possible with God, but something I'm still lacking. Maybe this morning you need to take a self-examination of where your heart is. Where is my treasure? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is my treasure the Razorbacks? Is my treasure my antique car? Is my treasure my house? Is my treasure my kids? Is my treasure my athletic ability? Is my treasure my looks? Is my, where, what has your heart? What has your treasure? And I think this morning that if you don't feel like your walk with the Lord is right, that's a good place to begin, is saying, where is my treasure, Lord? Are you my treasure? Last week, I preached on, I used Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And I talked about what crucify means. To crucify the flesh is to utterly destroy, and it's painful, and it's a painful process. I can tell you guys already forgot last week's sermon. That's okay. That's why I'm reading it again. Crucifying the flesh. And see, this rich young man says, Lord, what do I still lack? He said, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me. And I think what God is looking for in each one of our lives is our heart. What has your heart? Is it the flesh, or have we crucified the flesh? We don't believe the impossible because our hearts are so far from God. See, we don't believe that God can do the impossible in our life. We don't believe that God can change our heart to care more about the things to come, the things in heaven. We don't believe that God can deliver us from that sin. We don't believe that God can really transform our lives. We don't believe God for the impossible because our hearts are so far from God. Because our heart's desire is still for the flesh and the things of this world. I don't know if this is making sense to y'all, but it's making perfect sense to me because I've seen so often in people's lives where they won't fully give themselves to God, and then they can't see the amazement and the awesomeness of God transforming their lives because they're holding on to something. Have you guys noticed how beautiful the trees are looking right now with the colors and everything? And me and Crystal took off yesterday and went up Old 71 and around Lake Fort Smith, and then ended up on some back roads and come out in Cedarville. And we were just going to look at the colors of the leaves because they're so beautiful. And you know, and it, as I was watching these leaves change colors, and I looked up why exactly this is happening, and it says shorter days and cooler temperatures, the leaves no longer are able to produce food for the tree, so the leaves are dying. Now, how beautiful do those leaves look dying? They look very beautiful, don't they? How beautiful does a life look that's dying to the flesh and giving over to Jesus Christ? It's a beautiful thing, y'all. It's a beautiful thing to see a person that used to just give in to their anger and let someone have it, hold their tongue. It's a beautiful thing to see someone that used to would rather stay out and party and drink to come home and open up the Word of God. It's a beautiful thing when someone's language goes from curse words every other word to to blessings every other word. Have you guys ever seen the transformation take place of someone that's died to themselves and now living for Jesus Christ? It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It's more beautiful than them leaves changing colors. It's when we crucify the flesh and we become that new person. And then when we say, what do I still lack? It's the crucifying of the flesh. It's giving our life over to Jesus Christ. And you say, this is impossible. But what did we just read? All things are possible with God, right? What is impossible with man is possible with God. And where you in your heart this morning is saying, something's got a hold of me. Something's got a hold of me. And it's not Jesus. It's impossible for Jesus to get a hold of my life. I tell you that that's a lie from Satan, that it is possible for Jesus to get a hold of your life. It is possible for you to die to the flesh. It is possible for your life to be more beautiful than the most beautiful tree that you see, as that tree's dying and the colors are transforming. And that's what God wants to do with each and every one of our lives. You die to the flesh and Him to transform your life into something even more beautiful. I don't know, this got me excited, y'all, when I think about it. When I think about the impossible, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. See, I'm going to tell you something. I don't have enough willpower to overcome things in my life. But it's when I turn my life over to Jesus Christ and I get grafted in and the power of the Holy Spirit comes to live in me that I change. See, we can take and read self-help books and all this psychology and all these things to become a better person and become a better man, a better woman. And they may help some. But what we really need is a heart transplant, a new heart. What we really need is that new life. And y'all, I'm telling you, I believe that there's people caught in sin. There's people caught in desire this morning. And they're saying, Pete, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I just can't. But have you really, really, really given your life over to Jesus Christ? Have you really, really, really crucified the flesh? Have you really sold out to Him? Luke 1:37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. The hardest heart in this room, the hardest person you know at work. I've told this story to y'all before when I was at UPS and we did a little Bible study. And there was a kid, his language, his he was just a rough, I thought he was a drug addict. I don't know if he was, but I thought he was. And I just didn't even like being around the kid. He just got on my nerves and he cussed and he yelled and he was all full of anger and rage all the time. And he listened to our Bible study at a distance. And one Monday morning he come in and he came straight up to me. Pete, I got saved this weekend and his life changed. He would have been the very last person that I ever would have thought to get saved. And I begin to see the dying process in his life. But it was the dying of the old man and the new man coming alive. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. I've seen it in some of y'all's lives. I've got chill bumps right now thinking of what some of you and how I've seen God transform you, how I've seeing God change you. I can't help it. I think of Casey when he was back here playing basketball and he's cussing and plowing over people and someone nudged him. That's the preacher. And I said under his breath, I don't care. And he's still, you know. And God's changed Casey. He's not the same man he was. God can do the impossible with your life. God can do the very thing that you think can't be fixed, the very thing that you think can't be overcome. Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. Do we believe that nothing is impossible with God? Do you believe in your salvation through Jesus Christ? Do you believe we can live a new life where our treasure is in heaven and not in the things of this world, not in the things of the flesh? Do we believe that our flesh truly can be crucified? Do we believe that we could usually be, or that we really can become a new creation, that the old is gone, that the new is born? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Can I tell you something? In my own understanding, a lot of things don't make sense. But when I'm trusting in the Lord, He makes a way. Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Are we living that out? See, that rich man, I don't know what ended up happening with him. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll know. "But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." See, if we begin to acknowledge God in our everyday life, then those things that got a hold of us are going to let loose. Those things that we're so enslaved to are not going to enslave us anymore. Verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Y'all, that's wisdom right there. That's wisdom right there. Fear the Lord and shun evil. You know, we like to think of our little sin as not really being evil. It's not really evil. Evil sounds like a dirty word. It's just a little bad habit. It's just a little thing. It's evil. And if you allow it to stay in your life, it will keep control of you. But it's when we acknowledge the Lord, when we lean not on our own understanding, when we fear God and we shun evil, we crucify the flesh, we get it out of our lives. God can do the impossible with you. I want you maybe right now to think of something that seems impossible in your life. Maybe it's a family member that needs saved. Maybe it's an addiction that you have. Maybe it's a secret hidden sin. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it might be something that you've been praying for a long time and you haven't seen it come to pass. I would just challenge you right now to begin to think of that impossible situation. Now I want you to think of Jeremiah 32:27. He says, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" Is there anything too hard for God this morning? There's nothing too hard for God this morning. There's nothing that God can't take care of. He parted the Red Sea. He held back the floodwaters of the Jordan. He crushed down the walls of Jericho. He closed the mouths of lions. God is the God of the impossible. And right now, this morning, if there's something that seems impossible in your life, there's nothing too hard for God. If you feel like that you're just sitting here this morning and you're saying, "God, there's just something not quite right. What do I still lack? There's something just not quite right." Right now is the moment that you begin to lean not on your own understanding and you begin to cry out to Jesus and say, "Lord, is there something? Is there something wrong? Is there something that I need to get out of my life? Where is my heart? Lord, has my treasure become this world? Has my treasure become these things? Has my treasure become something here other than You, Father?" You cry out to God this morning, and God is the God of the impossible. I think already some of you allowed doubt to come in. You say, "That'll never happen. That'll never happen." With maybe a person, with maybe a circumstance, with maybe a deliverance. Don't let doubt come in. Don't let doubt come in. Believe. What did He say? It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's impossible. A camel can't go through the eye of a needle. But with God, all things are possible. And it's possible this morning. Whatever is going on in your life, God is here. And He is the God of the impossible. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as doubt has already seeped into some heart, that they would hear your word this morning, that it would sink into their very soul, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible, that nothing is too hard for you. Father, that we would truly turn our lives over to you, that we would truly crucify the flesh, and that we would begin to walk in the Spirit, Lord, that we would begin to die to self, that we would be more beautiful than these trees around us, that their leaves are dying, Father, that we would begin to die to self, we would begin to die to flesh, and we would begin to walk in the Spirit, begin to walk in newness of life. Father, I pray that right now you would bring to mind in each one of our hearts things that we need to get rid of, things that we need to repent of, things that we need to confess as sin. And Father, maybe there's something in someone's life this morning that just seemed like impossible. Maybe it's freedom from addiction. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe, Lord, I don't know, but there's impossible situations in lives. Lord, maybe they grab hold of you this morning and begin to seek you with all their heart, that you would direct our path. That we would start believing for deliverance. That we would start believing for that newness of life. Father, I just feel like there's doubters in here. May there be no more doubt. For your word says that if we have faith of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. Lord, may we believe. May we believe in you. May we believe in all that you're capable of doing in our lives, in the deliverance. May we believe that salvation is for today. Lord, that salvation, that deliverance is for today, that right now at this moment we can have that new life and that fellowship with you. Holy Spirit, may you just flow. Flow through this sanctuary right now into every heart. Change lives. Change minds. May we truly believe that you are the God of the impossible. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything, for someone, for yourself, for a family member, for anything, please come and kneel at these altars and cry out to God this morning. Bible says that it is God's will that none should perish, no, not one, but that all should have eternal life. The reality is that there are some that will perish. The Bible also says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to everlasting life, and only a few find it. Y'all, the reality is that God wants you in heaven. He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins and for my sins. But we have a choice to make. Each and every one of us, we have a choice to make. I hope you choose wisely. And I hope you believe God for the impossible in your life. And the delivering power that He can have. How He can transform you into a new creation. He wants to do so much more with each and every one of us than I believe that we are allowing Him to do. May each one of us submit to God this week and allow His power to just flow through us and us to be obedient children, hearing His voice, walking in His steps. When we're obedient, God changes us. And I pray He changes each and every one of us, even me. I know I still got work to do. When I look back at my life and I see where I've come from to where I am now, and it's an impossible thing that's happened. It really is. But I'm not done yet. And God's not done with you yet. Bible study tonight, 6:30, elders meeting at 5:30. See y'all this evening.